Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. My name is Margaret Alleria, your host, and I'm here with my guest Lupita Elizondo, who is a volunteer with the Art and Environment Ministry at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church. How are you, Lupita?
Oh, just fine, thank you. It's very nice to be here today.
Well, this is an especially exciting program. We're talking about people behind the scenes, really, that focus on arts and environment. But we're also going to get some liturgical lessons here during our conversation. Now, before all that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I'm retired. I worked with CCISD for 28 years. And 10 years ago, I thought, okay, it's time to stay home. And that's when I began to take lay formation classes with Monsignor Eras at Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And then we go on trips with him, and you meet so many different people that you really don't get to meet when you go to church and then leave, you know. So we met some people that were with Arts and Environment on our last trip to Italy, and they invited us to join them. And I really had not known about this group before.
That there was a bigger picture.
Yes. We see the church decorated so beautifully for all the seasons and the different feasts, but we don't get to see them working. So we don't know about this. And so they invited me and my husband to join. And we have loved every minute of it, because not only are we beautifying the church, but we have fun, we have conversations, we go out and eat, we just do many things, and we actually feel like a family.
How long have you been a part of this ministry?
Only for 2 years, but it seems like we've been there longer. But we're always getting together and doing different things. I know people don't realize that for every season, every liturgical season, we need to change the colors of the church.
Even every function
feast of celebration, yes.
Mm-hmm. And before we move on to the different things that you would prepare for, what is fulfilling to you in this ministry? You get to meet other people, but let's go back to the beautifying of the church. How does that connect you more to your faith or to God?
It connects us. Not only does it connect us, but we know that we're helping the parishioners. Because, first of all, realizing that this is God's house and that we reverently come and beautify his house. So that is very fulfilling for us. And then when people see the beauty or the things that we have done, they comment and they say, oh, this is so beautiful. This touched my heart. This made me understand the words of the gospel because I saw the picture, you know. So those things, there's where the fulfillment of our labor of love comes in, you know, that people always make comments about those things they see.
Well, I did get an imagery. So I imagine going into a sacred space to worship.
Yes.
So we're going into a church to worship.
Exactly.
And the environment and the visual things and even the music and just everything comes together for us to have a great
worship experience. Yes.
So I can imagine going in, and let's say there's no statues of saints, the walls are bare, let's say they're painted an olive green color, there's no windows, no stained glass, there's no flowers or maybe even dead flowers, I don't know, and it's just not appealing to sacred worship.
Exactly.
And so we want to give our best to our Lord.
Yes.
And
yes,
so we come in, and we do see beautiful colors that represent different things.
Mm-hmm.
Or we do see a physical facility that has been taken care of because, as you mentioned, this
precisely
is God's house.
Yes.
And I think it's very important that all these pieces come together by volunteers like you to make this happen.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and talk about the mission statement of this ministry.
Well, it is, as I said before, to beautify, but to enhance and support the liturgical celebrations throughout the church in decorating Our Lady of Perpetual Help. So mainly, you know, we want to bring people closer and to realizing what it is that we are celebrating, to understand, to go deep into their faith, you know, by looking and seeing these either images or words, because we have banners, and some of these banners proclaim the words of the gospel.
Well, even considering stained glass and the reasoning behind them, for those that couldn't read scripture, they would look at the pictures.
In
stained glass. Definitely. Let's go ahead and talk then about the different, you did mention liturgical colors and the liturgical year. So there's different things that we celebrate, different colors that represent different things. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a sociologist or even a psychologist, whatever you call them, but I do know that we as human beings appreciate the visuals.
Exactly.
And appreciate the symbolism that colors bring
us.
Exactly. So, for example, red to us might mean love or it might mean death.
The love of the martyrs that they had for the people that they died for, or for the love of God that they died for.
So go ahead and take me through a day or a month or a year in the ministry of the art and environment.
Okay, well, I'll talk about Christmas. And the first things that we do, of course, we have an area at the church where we keep all of these materials, the different color materials, the different types of materials, because, of course, we have velvets, we have sheer material, we have cottons, but even that has to be in tune with the celebration. You know, during Lent, we're not going to use shimmery purple. We're going to use a subdued purple, something that reminds us that we are in Lent and we are in the process of being in passion with our Lord. So at Christmas time, we're going to have something joyful. So we have to go and we pull all the colors that will be for Christmas, and we have hollies and wreaths and decorations for our tree, lights. We have to get all of that ready, because on the day of decorating, that takes a long time. We've been known to stay at the church till midnight or past midnight getting the church ready, because we don't have that much time. You cannot decorate days ahead while the church is still in ordinary time. You have to wait to right before the day of
That's
the celebration.
Right. Talk about pressure.
Yes, exactly.
And organization.
Exactly, organization, yes, and a little pressure, because when we all work together and we're all joyful and everyone contributes and has suggestions, and that is what is so wonderful about our ministry, that everyone contributes and helps, and we wait. We do a lot of rearranging, but in the end, it's very beautiful, and we're all very happy with it.
You know, I like the way you speak of the community there, because you talk about people that enjoy differing opinions, but in the end, everyone is happy with where everything is at in the church.
Exactly.
This flower bouquet is there. This color is there. Has this been ironed out?
Exactly.
And it's interesting, because in some other places, that might not be the case. This is the plant I want. No, this is the plant I want, and people go away leaving helpless.
Yes, we know it's not our place to make a specific, decision. It is a community of people that are coming together, and we discuss the ideas, and then we all consent that that's the best thing to do. You know, whatever. And the men that are there also help us a lot. They build, they paint.
So they might be building the manger for Christ.
Yes. I mean, not this time, but in past years. Right now, we've actually bought one that we're using over and over again. But in past years, yes, they have. They've built and painted, and they have to climb ladders because they have to reach really the side of the altar that is very high and hang curtains or whatever. They, too, are very helpful, and they do just about everything we ask them to do.
Well, I would like to say for those of us that will be attending Mass that we take a look at the particular detail, especially after having listened to you, to look at the detail of the altar, around the altar, to the left, to the right,
exactly.
of where you're sitting in the pew, even behind the pews, even behind you, because the entire environment of that sacred space is prepared for the celebration of Mass or whatever feast days that we have. So, well, let me ask you, what would you hope people would see when they walk in and after you've prepared all those hours?
Well, I would hope that they would feast their eyes on the beauty of what we have tried to do for them. And but mainly to concentrate on what the feast is that we're celebrating, to keep their eyes on the birth of Christ, if that is what we're celebrating, or if it were Easter, on the resurrection of our Lord, and to put it together and really celebrate that in their hearts, so that they can come away with a better understanding of what has just happened.
And a full experience of liturgy. Lupita, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
You're invited to begin your Lenten journey with fullness of truth and be inspired by the Holy Eucharist True Food for God's Family Conference on Saturday, March 8th at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church, 3502 Saratoga. This day of spiritual activities will include Holy Mass, Adoration, Reconciliation, a boxed lunch, and dynamic presentations by two of America's top Catholic speakers, Steve Ray and Jeremy Youngers. Childcare will be available. For tickets to this exciting event, visit fullnessoftruth.org.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm with my guest Lupita Elizondo, who is a volunteer with the Art and Environment Ministry at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church. Now, we've been talking about the Art and Environment Ministry, and the fact is that every parish should have volunteers that assist with this.
Yes.
Because it's just that important to sacred liturgy and everything we represent. So I'd like to actually formally thank everyone out there that volunteers with this ministry because it's so important. And as a matter of fact, I was thinking during our break that I go in and I appreciate maybe the flowers here or the bouquet there and the colors, but I don't really think too deeply all the time about what they mean. So let's go ahead and talk about the liturgical year.
Okay.
Go ahead.
First, the one I will speak about is the ordinary time, which is always the green. And that is a simple. We have flowers. They can be of different color because there's not too many feasts going on. And so we just keep it in green, the colors that we use for the curtains. And then we have, of course, is the purple. And that is what we use during Lent because, as I say, we're preparing for the resurrection, and we also use purple in Advent, which is what we just began yesterday, our Advent season. And in the Lent time, we have what is called Lautare Sunday. And on that day, which is midday of our Lenten season, the priest wears rose vestments to indicate that we're halfway there.
There's some excitement going on.
Yes, there's some excitement that almost, you know, 3 more weeks and we're going
to
be.
We don't need to keep seeing this purple.
We don't have to see the purple. And we've done such a good job that we, you know, we celebrate a little bit. And Advent also has the third Sunday as called the Gaudete Sunday, which the priest also wears the rose, also to signify that, you know, we've gone more than halfway through and it's almost Christmas. So he's announcing, you know, that it'll soon be Christmas and then we'll really be able to celebrate and enjoy the season so much more.
And there's more that you're going to speak about, but I can imagine those that maybe can't hear. And that these colors and these visuals are helping them understand
exactly
the liturgical year and the sacredness of all these moments.
That's right. That's right. Hopefully that they'll be taking all of this in. We also have other colors that we use, which would be the red, and that is for celebrating martyrs' feasts. And the priest will wear the red vestment and sometimes we have the opportunity, not all the time, to dress the church in the red for the feast of the martyrs because of the shedding of their blood for our Lord, for their faith. And I'm trying to remember.
What about white? Do we use white?
We use white a little bit, not... You have the, I believe that you may use it if it's for Christmas also, but it's not, you know, you have a choice. You have a little bit. Also, I'm glad you asked me about this because if we ever have any questions about what we're doing or what we need to do, we always go to Monsignor Erras and he has the final word or explains to us exactly, you know, sometimes we might get a little sidetrack.
Creative.
Yes, exactly. And so we always go to him, and he'll tell us what we can or we should.
Sure. Something. And you definitely have some guidance in literature that says what color here, what color there.
Yes.
And again, the importance of symbolism and why we do different things the way we do. I think this is a very educational program because it's allowing our listeners to understand that behind the scenes, there are faithful volunteers that give of their time and effort and under pressure circumstances to make, again, this sacred space visually appealing for the people that go to pray.
Under pressure and, well, like I said, not so much because we always...
Sure, every once in a while.
But there have been times when we have gone, and, you know, we work only inside the church. This isn't something that we can do at home and then just... We have to work inside the church because, of course, we're decorating the church. And there have been times when we have decided, okay, we're going to meet at this time and we will go, but something else is going on, say maybe a funeral
or maybe a wedding,
and we're not able to meet at that time. So then we have to work around that, decide who can come back at a later time or maybe the next day. But this is why it's so important to have many volunteers. So if one person can't make it, another one will be able to show up. And we don't have a problem with that. We just pray. And, you know, God always is with us, and we always get it done.
You can definitely recruit for Art and Environment on the program. I can imagine how humbling it is. And, Lupita, you can share your experience. I remember when I was helping some students that were going to receive their first communion or confirmation, or we were just preparing for liturgy, and we dressed the altar. And so we put the altar cloth and unfolded it, and all the lines needed to line up. And it was just a very humbling experience because you're right there next to the sacred altar. And you're preparing things for the sacrifice of the Eucharist.
Exactly.
So how do you feel when you're getting all of this done and then when you step back and look at the final product?
Oh, we are in awe. And we always give all the glory to God because without His assistance and giving us the ability to move and think, we wouldn't be able to do this. It's for His glory, but it's also by His glory that we're able to do this. And all of us join in that praise to Him. And that's what's so wonderful about this ministry, that we're of the same mind, you know, and it has to be His hand because we know that outside we might not be this, what is the word?
Well, let's just say the Spirit's moving.
There you
definitely.
Go.
Definitely.
I
could tell.
That is wonderful. That's exactly what it is, the Spirit moving, because we're always very congenial and we appreciate everybody's input, and we treat everyone with respect, and we enjoy every moment of it.
And
we look forward to being there. That's what it is.
A main part of it, too, is that you know what you're doing and who it's for.
Exactly, yes. We know it's for Jesus. We always say, Jesus, we're going to do this for you, and we're always talking to Jesus.
Should I put this flower here?
Exactly.
Well, has there ever been a time or a moment where you just knew that you were doing the right thing? Has anyone ever come up to you and said, this is so great, this is helping me and my prayer experience? Can you share any of those stories?
Well, there's one particular story that Janie told us, and it was during the Feast of the Assumption. And we have a picture of a dragon with a 7 heads. And Father was reading the gospel, and he was describing this very thing. And people were listening and looking at the banner with the dragon and the 7 heads, and they were like, oh, you know, you could just
make sense.
It made sense. Uh-huh. What he was describing in the gospel or reading in the gospel and what they were looking at. And she said, you know, this is what we want. We want people to visualize what they hear. You know, a lot of times we hear things and it's over and then we move on and we don't take it in and understand it. But with the visualization right there, you can't miss it. You know?
No, that's right. And especially with that type of visualization, I'm even thinking of it right now.
Yes.
And the reading of the gospel. And so this is to enhance and increase the experience of the person coming to the sacrifice of the Mass.
Exactly, yes. That's what it's all about.
Now, if you wanted to encourage someone to volunteer in this ministry, what would you say to them?
Well, you don't need any special talents because your talents will come out when you join us. You know, we have people that sew. We have the ladies that make the banners. Oh, and we have a very special friend. Her name is Helen Schielander, and she's an artist. And she's the one that draws and paints these beautiful images for us on banners. As a matter of fact, she has a banner that went to one of the cathedrals in Mexico. She's so talented. And I understand that she also gave a banner or a picture to Mother Angelica. Mother Angelica has one of her banners or pictures. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I know that she has one. And she's very talented, and she helps us a lot. Like I said, sewing, painting, hammering, climbing a ladder.
Organizational skills.
Yes, anything. Any kind of handiwork is all welcomed. Or even suggestions when they come in and they say, oh, look, this would look good. We welcome everyone. And if anyone is interested in joining our arts and environment, they can go to DorothyGarza@yahoo.com, or they can call the church. The office at 361-993-1211.
Lupita, thank you so much for being with us. May God continue to bless the Art and Environment Ministry. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. Mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
You've probably heard the story about the three workers from the Middle Ages who were approached by a visiting nobleman. The nobleman asked them one at a time what their work entailed. The first man responded that he hated it, that every day he mixed clay and straw, which in turn was used for making bricks. He complained that it was back-breaking work, with little pay. The second man replied that his work was tedious, but that it allowed him to provide for his family. When the question was repeated to the third man, he looked up excitedly and exclaimed, Why, I'm building a cathedral. I is at that. What a difference of perspective these three men had. Is it really very different from ours today? When we consider the great cathedrals that were built in Europe during this time period, we often fail to realize that most of them took 100 years or more to complete. For the people of that time, it was not unusual for a baby to be baptized, to grow to maturity and be married under the scaffolding of the workers. They would worship and bring their own children to be baptized under the same scaffolding as the work continued. And once their life had ended and the final prayers were offered for them at Mass, they would be buried in the shadows of the walls within which they had learned their faith through the stories depicted in magnificent stained-glass windows. It is really something to think about. When our earthly Christian journey concludes at the graveside with the prayers of committal, our true life is just beginning. How often have you thought about life, wondering how many years you might live, when and how death will come, and yet we often give little thought to our eternal life? We go about life, day to day, our hands stuck in the mud and straw, complaining of aching backs and low pay, without giving a thought to the cathedral of our soul, which is being built by every act of faith and every good deed. In the Acts of the Apostles, Peter tells the elders and the people of Jerusalem that Jesus is the stone rejected by you, the builders. He goes on to say that Jesus has become the cornerstone upon which the future is built, the cornerstone upon which the church is built, and the cornerstone upon which our life with God depends. Have we rejected Jesus with our complaints, with our selfishness, with our denial of one another's needs? Are we grateful for work, or are we resentful that it is not glamorous or high-paying? The weight of our struggles can get us down. It can diminish the hope that should be ours by virtue of Christ's redeeming act of love on the cross. But Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." Jesus invites us to work with him to build a cathedral in our soul, a cathedral in which our eyes will be the stained glass windows telling our story of faith. May you discover in the midst of the mud and straw of your life the cornerstone who is Jesus, and may he transform your bricks into the gift of eternal life, one sacred moment at a time. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Lupita Elizondo. And if you would like more information about the Art and Environment Ministry at Our Lady of Perpetual Help, please contact Dorothy Garza at dorothygarza@yahoo.com or call 361-993-1211. Join us again next week on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.